Welcome, everyone. This is the Board of Adjustment meeting for September the 18th. Could I have a roll call, please?
Paul?
Here.
Gallagher?
Here.
Johnson?
Here.
Springer?
Gallagher.
Here. I thought you called my name. I'm sorry.
It's all right. He takes care of me when I need
it. Welcome, everyone. This is the Board of Adjustment meeting. It's a five-member board appointed by the mayor. We discuss special uses and variances to the city ordinance. And the members here have had an opportunity to go out and visit the site in question and usually comes to make a decision at the meeting. Could I have a motion to approve the minutes of the previous meeting?
So moved.
Second? Is there a second?
Second.
Roll call, please.
Falk?
Here.
Gallagher?
Yes.
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Gallagher?
Yes. The first item on the agenda is case number 14-067 at 2404 Hunter Road. It's an R2 district, a request for a variance to allow a 6-foot-high fence in the required front yard submitted by Jeff and Jennifer Wellman. Is there an affidavit of publication?
Yes, there is, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, board members, this site is located at the intersection of Hunter Drive and 18th Street. It's outlined in yellow on the graphic currently being displayed. The applicant would like to place a 6-foot-high fence protruding out towards 18th Street, approximately 8 feet, and it would be placed on the lot as shown by the red line on the current display. If allowed, this fence will stay out of the designated utility and drainage easement. That's a little unusual and not like a lot of the easements that we see. It's running diagonally across the west side of the property, but he has placed the fence so that it will not intrude into that. Actually, the applicant originally was going to come in and have a fence come out like this and was going to ask to place a pool out also in the required front yard setback. After lengthy discussions with staff, we went through a lot of the options and why we felt that there should be other things that he should look at, and he did follow basically every suggestion staff put, and the pool is now going to be located where it does not need a variance, and only a slight portion of the fence will protrude into the front setback. Fence, of course, is to still give privacy for the new swimming pool that will be put up. 6-foot fences adjacent to 18th Street are common, as are most of the main four-lane thoroughfares through the community. Board has made a very clear distinction that that's understandable, where in residential streets it is not understandable. If allowed, the fence would still be 20 feet back of the public sidewalk adjacent to 18th Street and back 45 feet from the actual paved portion of the roadway. There are no line of sight issues associated with the traffic using the intersection from either direction. And I believe that summarizes it. The applicant was going to attend this meeting last week but was unable to rearrange the schedule because of the schedule change here. I did receive a letter of support from one of the neighbors, a Mac and Jenny Rice, and I have furnished you a copy of that letter of support and also placed one in the permanent file. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, John. Is there anyone here wishing to speak in favor of this request? Is there anyone here wishing to speak in opposition to this request? Seeing none, the board...
I have just one question. Do we have to, because of the easement, do we need to specify a location? The variance is just to allow a 6-foot-high fence in the required front yard.
You could make the motion as submitted with the plot plan.
As set forth in the...
Yes.
Okay. I move we approve case number 14067, a request to... for variance to allow a 6-foot-high fence in the required front yard as set forth in the staff report.
Second.
Been a motion to second. Would you call the roll?
Paul?
Yes.
Gallagher?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Bowser?
Yes. Case 14-067 at 2404 Hunter Road has been approved. Case 14-068 at 710 28th Street, it's a request for a variance to allow a deck in the required front yard submitted by Ron Grinko. Is there an affidavit of publication?
Yes, there is.
Thank you.
This site is located south of Central on the west side of 28th Street and again is outlined in yellow in the graphic being displayed. There currently is a deck at the location shown on the plot plan. The applicant would like to remove that deck and replace it with a structure the size and shape that's being displayed currently. The required front yard setback in the R2 district is only 25 feet. There's very few locations in the community that have the situation that we have here. In this section of 28th Street, all of the homes recognize 28th Street as their front and use it as a front yard and use it as a front entry and use Thorn Street as their rear entry going into, they use that more of an alley. From this point down, it's just the opposite. Those homes use Thorn Street as their front and regard 28th Street as their rear yard. All of the entry to those structures are from Thorn Street basically only. There are doors on the back of some of these. You wouldn't be able to get to it because of the topography. And that's the reason for the change. Once you get at this brake line, this area here becomes very steep, and that's why there's the change in the use of the two different types of lots. Lot has a significant elevation change from 28th Street. It will also help to give a type of separation appearance from 28th Street. If allowed, it would be 60 feet back from the property line adjacent to 28th Street, and again, the required buildable area front yard setback would be 25 feet only in a R2 district, but because of the ways these have been developed, it's a unique situation, and we now have, at least in this section of the roadway, an established setback. So that's the reason that the variance is required for this request. I believe that both the setback and the elevation change will provide a separation from 28th Street, and that is why the applicant is asking for it. This is a large deck, and it appears much larger perhaps because of the small footprint of the house, but our ordinance does not make a distinction. There's not like the garage can only be 40% of the above ground living area. That distinction is not in the code for decks. Had this, however, deck been requested for a footprint like that house, then it wouldn't seem as big as what it looks like on the plot plan before you. I believe that summarizes the request. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Is there anyone here wishing to speak in favor of this request? Would you go to the podium, please, and state your name and address, please? Go to the podium back there.
Yeah, my name's Carlos Ramirez at 617 28th Street, and I don't have a problem with him building it. He's already got a deck there. Why does he need a variance?
He's part of city code.
He's just replacing the deck's all he's doing.
It's larger, though.
Yeah.
Well, I go for him. If he wants to put a deck, I'm happy for him.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone here wishing to speak in opposition to this request? You want to go to the podium and state your name and that, sir?
Yeah, good afternoon. My name is Mike Drinkle, and I own the property immediately north of Ron's house. We've been neighbors for 45 years, and just to make the record clear, I do not have an axe to grind with the Grinkos. They're great neighbors, and in 45 years, I cannot remember a single time when we've been at odds about anything. But in this particular case, one of the advantages from our perspective of where we live is it's a semi-rural kind of atmosphere in that neighborhood. From our front window and stoop, we can look down the valley of 28th Street and across the river. We can actually see the river and traffic on Butterworth Parkway over in Moline. My problem is that this deck is so large, it's almost like building a house in front of a house. And our view to the south will be severely limited by the size of the structure. We would hope that there would be some sort of compromise that could be reached by making redoing the existing deck and landscaping in front of it to remove some of the slope of the hill, because it's my understanding that the reason the deck is going to be so large is to remove some of the mowing responsibilities and difficulties on that slope. Well, I have the exact same slope, so I know what they're coming from. It is it's quite a handful. But I'm just afraid that if the deck is erected in its proposed form, they will maintain a wonderful view of the river, and we will have a wonderful view of the side of their deck. And it would be the largest structure protruding along the entire row of houses. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We have to go with what the request is, and it's up to the board to decide, sir.
So,
yes. Anyway, is there anyone else wishing to speak in favor or opposition to this request? Would you go to the podium, sir, and state your name and address, please?
Hi, I'm Mike Kleinsmith. Ron and Bonnie Grinko are my in-laws, and I'm going to be building the deck, I hope. I went over and looked at Mike's issue, and if you had, John, can you put the picture of Ron Bonnie's house up?
Which one?
The picture of that one there.
Okay.
Their Grinko's front door height and everything is the same height as Ron and Bonnie's, and they sit up on top of their front stoop to look at the river, and everything is going to be, you can see right over top of it. And when I was standing there looking at it the other day, I took a picture of it. You can see all the trees and a very small sliver of the river. In the wintertime, I agree with them completely. Part of the deck may block some of the view, but it's a big safety issue for my father-in-law on that front slope right in front of the deck. He falls when he tries to mow. All the time he's falling. And we're bringing the deck out from that. I think it was 6 or 8 feet further from what the existing deck is.
So 30 feet?
I'm looking at it as a safety standpoint for my in-laws. That front slope is the whole thing, the whole addition of the deck is to get rid of that so they don't mow it. And it's not going to be the whole thing. We're going to have to do some landscaping, but it's also when you go in there to take machinery in there, to dig that slope down, financially it's not possible for them. They're on a limited budget. So I'm doing the deck, trying to save them money also. So I'm just hoping to try to avoid everything as far as them getting hurt and trying to keep Mike and Kathy happy too.
Would you have the same type of railings and so forth?
Actually, the railings are going to be a baluster. They're going to be a skinny metal baluster railing.
Okay.
They're not going to be the big 2x6 boards like that.
Okay. Anything else, sir?
That would be it. Thank you.
Thank you. What's the board's review?
So the reason this setback is set is because it's basically established because of the line of the line of homes. Do they have a variance already for the existing deck, or was
I don't believe
before,
so? No.
Kind of before.
Any other questions?
Depending on what we're calling front yard setbacks here, a lot of things are in front yard setbacks because both of these are streets. So
right.
There's encroachments into front setbacks all over the place down there.
Now, if they had wanted, instead of a deck, they wanted to build a room in addition to the house, this would still be...
Same issue.
Same issue.
And this will never be enclosed as a room?
No.
No. Okay. Any, someone would like to make a motion or question?
Well, I have a question. Is anyone considered the idea of coming out of the front door and down a couple of steps, maybe to lower the height of the deck, which might be a compromise that would work?
We talked about doing a split-level deck.
Something that would take it down a little bit, so maybe the extra volume of deck wouldn't interfere with the neighbor. I'm just looking for a compromise.
We did one step down to look at an 8-inch height difference, and then that came into a falling hazard for Ron, because his balance was really bad.
Okay.
So I kind of, we talked about doing that at first, and then the big issue was Ron, I mean, he could be standing and just start tipping.
So you have investigated that? Okay.
I understand to get a wheelchair out there and so forth. Is that correct?
Yeah, because the main door you can see on the left of the house, on the left side of the screen, where the awning is.
Yes.
It goes in and then straight up steps to the, you have to go to the left or straight down the basement. So in the future, if they ever needed a handicap ramp, it's going to have to come off the side of that deck so they can go in the front door. But that's the... A new part of the deck we want to add on would not matter to that. Because there's, you know, we'd still have to, you know, put back an old deck that would be sufficient for a handicapped person to go in or rent a wheelchair.
You want to say something, sir?
Yeah, I have no problem at all with the size of the deck that it is. But I would hope that the landscaping in the front, by the use of either rocks or bushes, or you don't have to terrace the front to make it so that you don't have to mow it. The size of the deck as it is now has been there for years, and we're okay with that.
Okay.
And you would still have access at that level with a wheelchair ramp. But if the only problem, I guess you'd say, is the mowing of the slope of the hill, that could be addressed in many different ways without extending the deck further out toward the street and making it so large.
The issue I see is that in front of us, we really don't have, it's not our purview to tell them what size they can or can't make the deck. Our only decision here is to allow a variance or deny a variance. And I guess in my opinion, it's very difficult for me when they have a deck already, it's established, it's a backyard essentially. I think everybody is in agreement that those houses are like backyards. It's difficult for me to deny the allowance of the deck, and we don't have any say over the size.
So technically that is our front yard. That's where our address is, 1728 Street. It's not Thorn. The
That's
backyard
true.
Is where the access is, but the address is the front. And the front, if you look at the houses are configured with a front door to the street.
That's true.
Yeah, and what I was, simply what I was trying to say in the report is the use is being used as backyards, and these uses are their main front.
And if we were to deny him to allow the deck in the required front yard, it's deteriorating, and once it's no longer safe, he would not be allowed to replace it. Is that correct?
He could come back and ask again. He wants to make it a smaller deck that would appease the neighbors. He could come back and ask again.
Then what criteria do we use in the future when somebody else wants to come back two houses down and wants to build a slightly larger deck?
Yeah, I mean, there's encroachments into front yards here all over the place. Mm-hmm.
Is there a motion on this issue?
It's difficult to say, but I move that we approve case number 14068, the request for a variance to allow a deck in the required front yard.
Is there a second?
I'll second the motion.
Would you call the roll, Lisa?
Falk?
Yes.
Gallagher?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Gallagher?
Yes. Case dash 14-068 at 710 28th Street has been approved. Case 14-069 at 4340 Tanglewood Road. It's a request for a variance to reduce the required side yard setback from 50 feet to 25 feet and increase the allowable height of an accessory building from 15 feet to 29 feet to allow construction of a barn to be used for storage of farm equipment submitted by Chad Miller. Is there an affidavit of publication?
Yes, there is.
Thank you.
Again, the site is outlined in yellow on the graphic being displayed. It's a very large parcel, agricultural parcel. To orient you, here is Middle Road. The Tanglewood Pavilion and Wedding Chapel is south of this location off of Tangle Foot, and this is just north of there where Tanglewood is. The applicant would like to place a agricultural accessory building or barn, if you would, in the area that's outlined by yellow, which would be 25 feet from the side property line to the west. The green outline illustrates where the required 50-foot setback is. Even though this is an extremely large parcel of land, I am estimating at least two-thirds of this parcel is unusable, either due to easements or flood zone as far as any buildable area on it. The buildable area is simply that area right here. If allowed, it would resemble many modern agricultural accessory structures where farm implements are going to be stored. The two issues are the setback and the height of the structure. This is the top photo is an illustration of what the buffering currently looks like between the area that the barn would be built and the neighboring property to the west. The applicant has also made an illustration of what the 35-foot height would be on the bottom photo compared to that buffering area. And again, the 35-foot height is at the peak of the structure, or mid-gable is that we would measure it. As we were evaluating this request, this entire area surrounding the applicant's home is the same zoning. It's A1 agricultural zoning. None of the neighboring properties have observed the 50-foot required setbacks. We have a 17-foot setback to the side, a 10-foot setback to the side, and 11-foot setback to the side. So if approved at 25 feet, this setback would actually be the largest setback of all of the neighboring properties surrounding it. As for the height, our ordinance presumes accessory structures that are urban in orientation and not agricultural buildings. It is assuming that we're going to have either sheds or garages for the storage of regular motor vehicles. It would be impossible to get farm implements into a structure that's allowed by our code. And I think that perhaps one of the things that the applicant would say is that the code just doesn't even address that there are agricultural properties. The code assumes that at some time in the future, agricultural properties will be converted into some type of urban use. But as they exist nowadays, it really doesn't address that there are going to be agricultural buildings that need to be built on these lots. So I believe that's the applicant's assertion here. And I think this summarizes the request. Thank you, Mr.
Thank
Chairman.
Thank you, John. I have a question. What was the height of the building on Devil's Glen Road, or Monk's Road, excuse me, that we approved? That was similar to this, wasn't it?
I don't recall that one.
Remember it was a barn type?
Yeah, at the intersection of Crow Creek and Middle Road, it's across the street from Surrey Heights Fire Station, is the structure I remember most similar to this, and that was probably back 2002, 2003, and again, it was an agricultural accessory building, just like is being requested here, and about the same height and about the same type of building.
Thank you. Was there anyone here wishing to speak in favor of this request? Would you go to the podium, please, and state your name and address, please?
My name is Chad Miller. My address is 4340 Tanglewood Road. I'm an applicant. I'm here to answer any questions if you have any.
Thank you.
A couple of corrections. What I was trying to point out with the skid loader heights, that actually shows 39 feet to the top of the three high skid loaders.
Oh, good.
So the trees are over 40 feet tall. Yeah, the peak of the building, I think, would be like at 36. And the midpoint, which is what your code is like 29 feet. So basically, those trees are going to tower the barn anyway.
Thank you, Chad. Is there anyone here wishing to speak in opposition to this request? Seeing none, is there questions from the board? No questions?
No questions. I would make a motion that we approve case 14-069 at 4340 Tanglewood Road as submitted, as requested.
Is there a second?
Second.
Been a motion and a second. Would you call the roll, please?
Paul?
Yes.
Gallagher?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Gallagher?
Yes. Case 14-069 at 4340 Tanglewood Road in A1 District has been approved. Case 14-070 at 3412 State Street, it's a C4 District. It's a request for a variance to reduce the required front yard from 20 feet to 0 feet to allow construction of a parking lot and installation of an on-premise identification sign submitted by Green Valley Properties. Is there an affidavit of publication?
Yes, there is.
Thank you.
Site again is outlined in yellow. It is located just north and east of the intersection of 32nd Street and State Street. And I am at a loss of the name of the restaurant that was right here. I was going to point out to you.
Name.
That's Hall of Fame.
Hall of Fame. Pizza. Thank you very much. I'll be right next to Hall of Fame Pizza Restaurant. Two requests before you this evening. The property is hoping to be redeveloped and rezoned. The rezoning process has been started so that the business could be run out of the home. It's not going to be a home anymore. It's going to be a business. Could be run out of the structure. The parking lot, where they would like to orient as shown, outlined here. And the second request is somewhere in the area outlined in the front of the building, they would like to place a on-premise identification sign identifying the business. If allowed, this request is certainly in keeping with the way most of the properties have developed in the area that surround this property. Six of the seven businesses that are being displayed here have parking similar to what's being requested, parking in the front yards. And four of the seven businesses have their identification signs also out in the same area as shown here. The other ones there. So certainly the request is almost identical to what's surrounding the property here. There are some topography issues here as you go up the hill. The slope incline, the elevation raises very quickly. That's the reason they would like to basically redevelop simply this portion of the lot, leaving the rest the same. It would be a home improvement type business. Very little traffic would come into this. Most of it is people contacting them and then them going on to site at your home and looking at your property to see what you would like to have done. They do siding, window replacements, things like that. We anticipate very little traffic in there, and the process has been started through the Planning and Zoning Commission as well. I believe that summarizes the case, Mr. Chairman. Thank you very much.
Thank you, John. Is there anyone here wishing to speak in favor of this request?
Hi, I'm actually the office manager for Green Valley, which would be the
business. Could you give your name and address, please?
My name is Rhiannon Tucker, and my address is 2215 Newberry Street, Davenport. We have purchased the property, which is currently the front part is zoned commercial. We're just fixing it because it's for autos, and that won't work for us. But we do plan to do a really nice job and make it something that, Bettendorf can be proud of. It does need parking as it sits right now. It has a one-lane driveway that goes in that's just not functional to turn around. It's definitely not safe for people to try to back out onto State Street. So that is, you know, the best area with the incline where the parking lot could go. It'll give it more of an commercial appearance, but it is very commercial and industrial down there, so we're just requesting that we have the same courtesy, I guess, as our neighbors. That's it.
Thank you. Is there anyone wishing to speak in opposition to this request? Seeing none.
Mr. Chairman, I did have one other graphic I forgot to show you. Reason for the request of the sign placement is because of the existing landscaping down there. With this business, landscaping is a big part of that, and they'd like to keep as much as possible, and that's why they were requesting the sign to be brought out, just like the other ones in this area. Thank you.
And they do have a red rope line or indicating where the parking lot is going to go. That's correct.
Well, right? And that's a good point. Even if allowed, it sounds like, well, we're setting it right at zero lot line. The right-of-way for State Street is huge. It would still be 31 feet back from the paved portion of the roadway of State Street.
Okay.
Both the parking and the sign.
The parking would be similar to the parking in the adjacent
Absolutely.
Structure.
Same lineup and everything.
It looks yes. like the same lineup to me, yeah.
Yeah. And the sign would not hang over the city right-of-way either.
Oh, no. It'll be about, no. Nothing's going over the right-of-way.
Okay. Any questions from the board?
No questions.
No questions. Is there a motion?
I'll make a motion that we approve case 14070, 3412 State Street.
Is there a second?
So moved.
Would you call the roll, Lisa?
Falk.
Yes.
Gallagher.
Yes.
Johnson.
Yes.
Oliver.
Yes. Case 14-070 at 3412 State Street, a C4 district, has been approved. Case 14-071 at 2207 Falcon Avenue, it's a request for a special use permit for an outdoor service area submitted by Mark Romer. Is there an affidavit of publication?
Yes, there is.
Thank you.
This site is located adjacent to and directly south of the new McDonald's that was built at the intersection of Falcon and 53rd. Site is outlined in yellow. The applicant would like to construct a new retail structure, and as part of that structure, the easternmost portion would be a restaurant. And on the northernmost portion of the restaurant, part of this structure, they would like to place a 10-foot by 40-foot outdoor service area for the restaurant. If allowed, the entire structure would appear as shown on the graphic currently being displayed, the north elevation being the front of the building, and the outdoor service area would be in front of that portion of the building. This request is very similar to the crust pizza request that was approved by this commission. However, that approval was limited to hours of service and use of the outdoor service area. The outdoor service area there was not to be used any later than 9 o'clock Sunday through Thursday, and no later than 10 o'clock Friday through Saturday. The reason the board set those limits was due to the restaurant's proximity to residential structures. This is a very similar situation, and certainly that type of limitation would be make as much sense here as it does over at the other location. Neighbors who have contacted me have raised a couple of issues that I think they would like some assurances on. One is use versus location. If approved, you're approving a use for an outdoor service area. I think what they want to be assured of is, if an outdoor service area is approved, is it going to be approved for only this specific area here? If during the process the building gets moved forward or somewhere else, they don't want this to be over here or over here closer to the residential area. That actually occurred when we had the McDonald's approval. We approved the drive-up, and then as the process went through planning and zoning to make further concessions to the neighbors, the whole thing was switched. And in that case, it was a positive. It's just that they don't want to see the something switching during the process here that would make it a negative. So I think they want to know if this approval is going to be if this is going to be approved that they want it in this specific area. Another assurance I believe that they want is that this restaurant will not eventually someday evolve into something different like we've had in other areas up in the shopping center up there. One thing we approved at one time we thought was going to be not primarily a bar, and it has evolved into that. I think they don't want to see that happen if this is going to have an outdoor service area here. I believe those are the two main issues that have been brought up to me, but perhaps some others will come up as well this evening.
And this would be similar to sports fans' new outdoor seating right in front of the front door?
Yes.
Similar? Very
yeah.
Similar? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Probably have a railing around it just like that. Yes, I think that's very accurate.
Is there anyone here wishing to speak in favor of this request?
Hello, I'm Mark Romer. I'm the developer for the site. Couple things. As far as the neighbors are concerned, I think we've got a very good rapport with the neighbors right now, so I'm trying to work with them hand in hand to make everybody as happy as possible. One thing they're concerned about is moving the, for some reason, if I understand John correctly, they're concerned that I may put the outdoor patio on the west side at some point. I'll give you my assurance I'm not going to do that. If this goes forward, this passed the planning and zoning development site last night. I don't know if that makes any difference or not, but so this is what it's going to be. If I were to change it, I have to go back through the whole thing. I'm not going to do that. I've had drawings of both, and I made a conscious decision to move the patio as far away as possible from all residential people. So even Dave admits that that's the furthest point from any homes in that area. Correct? Didn't you tell me that at one time? Okay. And then the second one was, if I were to sell the business or sell the property, and this was a concern when I brought this motion, same motion up to Crust, I can't control what happens at that point. But when I own it, and as I said with Crust, I don't plan on selling Crust for at any time in the near future. And this is the same thing. I like the area. I plan on holding on to this, Crust and Red Crow. So as long as I own it, it'll be a restaurant slash pub. It'll be similar to Governor's or similar to Crust. I have no intentions of turning this into a Pints or a Harrington's, which I have developed and sold. And I've given the neighbors my word on that as well. I've got other stuff that I can say, but I think I'd rather wait and just listen to the concerns and address those as those come up, if that's all right.
Thank you, Mark. Is there anyone here wishing to speak in favor of this request? Any other people? Is there anyone here wishing to speak in opposition to this request?
My name is Dave Burnchin. I live at 5177 Dove Court behind McDonald's. I seen Bill and Greg again tonight. Did you guys change from last night? And before I go on, last night I, speaking to the P&Z Commission, I took time out to thank five of the members over there, what John was referring to McDonald's. Mr. Gallagher, I see you changed team.
Yeah, I did.
But your old teammates, you know, those were trying times back then.
Yep.
A lot of nasty notes were written about the competence of the P&Z and about us who lived out there. And you guys were kind enough to listen to our concerns, had the courage to say, let's sit on this. Let's rethink this. And I'm here to tell you in 2014 that McDonald's is what I called last night, and I've told Bill, is a, turned into a win-win draw situation. I think the city won, their tax base increased. McDonald's got what they asked for. And because you guys were professional enough and had the vision to have the site plan reworked, it's kind of a draw for us. I'm not going to say we wouldn't rather have the house behind us and that we won, but boy, it could have been a lot worse. So thank you very much. I kind of speak for the group sometimes. That's why they throw me up here first. First of all, and I like John. John's done a lot of good stuff for me, coming out to my house, making sure I put my garden in the right spot and stuff like that. But on commercial comparisons, I'm not sure we always do a good job in these standards. You know, a lot of times we're comparing some of these places to Charms Boutique or the Halo Salon. And when McDonald's went in, you know, we did surveys of every business out there, their hours of operation, their numbers of employees. We really shouldn't have even had to do that because we knew who the growl in the room was. I mean, McDonald's is pretty dang big. And in terms of intensity, you know, it's kind of crazy in a way to compare them to some of these places. I started, by the way, so please be patient with me. And so, you know, and I've got to find my place here again. When we look at some of these places like Accentra, which is mentioned in the standards here, well, they're not abutting R2. They're in the corner there. They got to drive up. And when we mention even the crust, John says that, you know, it's away from the residential spot, but it's 268 feet from a picture of the plat that was submitted to you guys, I don't know, June of 2011 or something like that. And it's 268 feet, which makes it almost 200% further away from the closest residence than this patio would be, which is where I'd kind of like to be right now. It's a nice night. But there's also a street that goes by there. So some of these comparisons aren't really apples to apples all the time. And I also question why, and I'm sure this isn't intentional, but why no comparison to the clubhouse? You got the Lindenwood residence east of 18th, then on just the north side across the berm, you've got the clubhouse. I know you guys have had two special use permits for them in the last 2 years and been denied, and the neighbors have come up and talked to you and talked about the one guy who went and got the police calls that have been made over 161 in slightly over 2 years. So I think that's a better comparison. Another question I have is that I see in my notes here the special use permit for the Crest was in November of 2011. And there was also a special use permit at that time. The second one was requested for to allow a bar, cocktail lounge, and a tavern. And I'm kind of curious in a way why there isn't one of them tonight as well for the Crest or for the restaurant proposed here. And I'm really kind of confused as to how the city, because you know how I love the Rig Code, you can remember from Don, you know, from back then, I love it. I haven't been able to find, you look at the definitions. I mean, we even had debates about what's a drive-in, what's a drive-up, and the Sonic on Elmore and stuff like this and junk. What's the distinguishing factor that would make something not a restaurant versus a bar, tavern, or cocktail lounge? And who makes that? You know, is it like a square footage or revenue derived from, you know, food or that, you know, what they drink or whatever? And if that is, I would say even that would shift during the daytime. You might find a higher percentage of revenue from 4 to 8 for food. Maybe from 8 to 10, it evens out a bit. But certainly from 10 to 2, I would imagine you're not stopping for a burger. You're having a drink. You're having alcohol. And I think that's one of the main concerns, even probably a little bit more so than the patio with the stipulations of 9 o'clock and 10 o'clock, is that within probably 125 feet or less, you're going to have people who conceivably could be leaving there at 2 a.m. in the morning on a school night. And I'm not saying that would happen. I said this last night, and I'll say it again tonight. I take Mark at his word until I see something else. The Crest seems to be running really well. But it's conceivable. And at this point, with nothing being built, we don't know what we're getting, a clubhouse or a Crest. And we think it's really important because of all the kids that live out there and the proximity to the neighborhood. It's just a burn, you know. And so we're concerned about not just diminishing the property values of our house, more so, we're concerned about what impact and how this will impair the public health, comfort, safety, morals, or welfare of the inhabitants out there. And I know that's part of your job from Section 23 of Appendix B, to be concerned about things like that. So the granting of the special use permit sometimes requires, yes, the imposition of conditions, like the 9 to 10 or whatever. And we feel sometimes the standards presented by the staff are too subjective, like I say, comparing apples to apples, and not, and they lack relevant criteria. Granting a variance or a special use, they're kind of an exception to the zoning rules. And when I moved here in 1994, I always thought that, you know, exceptions and variance and things like that were rare. The exception wasn't the rule. But I know when we talked in 2011, you guys were doing a year-end thing or something like that and had your bar graph up. And, you know, in 5-year span from 2006 to 2011, every special use permit had been approved. So I learned something there. And usually a special use permit is granted because there's some perceived hardship due to the particular nature of the property in question. But it's not nearly as important a question to ask about the perceived hardship to the properties that are already there. I'm just going to take a wild stab at this. I know someone in the city can find this, but I was just calculating the taxes paid on those homes for 20 years, and I bet it's $1 million. I'm almost willing to bet that right now. I'm not going to bet that much. I'm just saying it's probably around that much. But anyhow, if what I'm kind of afraid of is that its special use permits deviate from zoning ordinance, then there can be an instance of, what do you guys call that, spot zoning? Where the SUP is at odds at the city's master plan, and you look all over the city's master plan, and you don't, from 1985 or the current one, you don't see a lot of R2 and C2 together. Probably less than 1%, and they're mistakes. So, these conditions that John talks about for the patio, and I don't know how this works. I guess I'm asking you guys, because you're smarter than I am at this stuff. But I know, I've read where courts have held that the imposition of conditions on special use permits is proper because, and I quote, they are corrective measures designed to protect the neighboring properties against the adverse effects of the use of the property that would be benefited by the special use permit. So I don't know. I've had some talks with Bill. We talked about the P&Z last night. Is there any type of condition that can, like I said, I don't understand why there's not a special use permit tonight or what determines what's a bar, cocktail lounge versus a restaurant. But if even if there was and it got approved or whatever, are there any types of conditions in that special use permit? Because that's not a allowed use in C2. That's a special use permit in C2. So I want to see another win-win draw type of deal around here. I think it's good in America when people can make money and start up a business and provide jobs. But I don't think we want that to be at the expense of good people. There are a lot of good people out there, a lot of professionals who live out there with kids, you know. So I respectfully ask that you just toss this around in your head, see what you come up with, enlighten us or whatever. I'm grateful for your time.
The comprehensive plan dictates currently, and it's being changed or could be changed, where this will go before the Board of Adjustment, or excuse me, the Plan and Zone instead of the Board of Adjustment. But currently, that's what we are in charge to do with drive-up windows or outdoor seating areas and so forth. So that's our charge.
Right.
And the request is for a restaurant in a commercial zone, and we have the right to deny it or approve it. So it's up to the board here to decide which way they wish to go, sir.
Okay. Well,
in a commercial area.
So you're, to clarify too, so you are in opposition for the special use for an outdoor service area because we have no way to stop a restaurant from going in there. Right.
I guess at this time I would say yes.
Just wanted to clarify that.
Well, yeah, I know I'm asking a bigger, a broader issue here.
Mm-hmm.
But at present, I would say yes. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Is anyone else wishing to speak in favor or in opposition to this request? Go ahead, Mark.
I think it's easier if I just, most of those questions were directed at you guys, I believe, but there were a couple that he stated. Again, Dave's trying to compare what I'm going to do to a clubhouse. I can only tell you 1,000 times it's not going to be like that. The building's situated where there's going to be no parking in the back, which was a huge issue with the clubhouse, with staff hanging out, customers hanging out. And even the clubhouse, since they've locked that back door, not locked it, but made it so it's not public use, I guarantee you the 161 calls, and I've got no interest in the clubhouse or anything, but the 161 calls came prior to that. If you took year-to-date versus the 2 years prior, I'm sure it's down. I'm assuming it's down. And as far as the a bar versus a restaurant pub, I don't really know. But I would assume a bar is exactly what it says, a bar, no food. A restaurant pub has food and alcohol. The public health and welfare of the citizens or whatever, I'm in disagreement. I think it adds more variety to Bettendorf. The stuff I do bring to the Quad Cities and Bettendorf, I think it adds value. You know, people enjoy it. We get people from Moline, Rock Island, Davenport coming to Bettendorf, spending money in our city. I think it's nothing but advantageous all the way around. And I could be wrong, but he mentioned something about a second special use permit. I believe in the situation of Crust, I was changing the use of the facility I was renting, and that's why we had to make a special use for an outdoor, because they already had outdoor sales allowed, and I was asking to add alcohol at that time. This is all in one, where this is a new building. This is starting from scratch. I'm not taking something and reinventing it. I think that's all for Dave.
Anyone else wishing to speak? Would you go to the podium and state your name and address, please?
My name is Amanda Backstrom, and I live at 5148 Dove Court. And may I request that you pull up the location map, please? Dove Court is the cul-de-sac right here. And I'd like to point out that this is vastly different from Crest due to the fact that there are two streets that are meeting, which means two sets of backyards that will be directly behind the proposed outdoor patio, whereas Crest has two streets that separate it from houses. I would like to ask that this request be denied. I am one of many parents here with small children, and all of our children spend time in all of these backyards. And when Mr. Romer has brought up the words health, safety, and welfare, he's proposing a outdoor patio which will be serving alcohol, which will be allowed, smokers will be allowed out there, and he has no way of controlling the noise level, the amount of smoking, the sound and behavior that are drifting over the proposed berm to our neighborhoods. I consider that a big deal, as I think the other parents do here when our children are out there and they're hearing things and possibly seeing things. And then I would request that if this does go through with Mr. Romer, that we get a fence. Part of Lindenwood, kind of right behind Frank's, has a fence, and the other side of Lindenwood, also on 18th, also has a fence, but the rest of it is not fenced. So if this goes through and there is an outdoor patio, then I think in addition to the berm, we would request that there be a fence to help keep any unwanted behavior or anybody who, you know, gets a little rowdy in the late night hours and decides to visit any backyards. Thank you.
I think the request, ma'am, does show a fence.
Wonderful, thank you.
Is that correct, Mark?
Yeah, I agree.
Completely around the west and south side?
Around my property.
Okay, thank you. Is there anyone else? No smoking areas also, okay.
That's Iowa law, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Iowa law, yeah. Any questions from the board? Of either?
No.
Okay. Pardon?
Other people want to talk, I think.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. If you'd like to speak, go to the podium and state your name and address, please.
My name is Marguerite Ford. I live at 2217 Lindenwood, behind the proposed site there. I would just like to say that I, too, am against the outdoor dining area. I would like to be able to put my kids to bed with, you know, open windows when it's cool out, and I don't want them to be hearing things late at night from, you know, people that are drunk on a patio, which is what's going to be happening in the late evening when my kids are going to be, you know, going to bed. So I wholeheartedly agree with my neighbors that, you know, I don't oppose a restaurant, but I want to limit the damage to us. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Hi, my name's Todd Cahalan. I live at 2214 Lindenwood Drive, which is directly south of the site. I just had concerns, I guess, on top of the patio. That all has to go with the patio. It was stated earlier that the hours would be 9 during the week and 10 during the weekend. I don't know that that's all bad if it gets approved, but I just want to see if we can add something there that if it's those hours that the patio's closed, it's not just going to stop serving alcohol or beer, that the patrons can't go out there and stay even though it's closed to serving alcohol and beer, if people can sit out there till 2 in the morning like the hours are proposed, then that defeats the purpose, I believe, of the times at 9 or 10. Also, I don't know that was mentioned too, that the proposed time for the restaurant would be 1 or 2 in the morning. And if that is true and that goes with the patio, then I'd oppose the patio as well. And one thing I don't think has been mentioned, and maybe verbally, that if we can have it in writing some sort, that there'd be no outdoor music during that time or at all on the patio. And Mr. Romer stated, my understanding was, and I guess I was a developer also, that I knew what was going in there before I built it, and Mr. Romer's not necessarily for sure, and that's understandable, but I believe he just mentioned that he wasn't sure if it was going to be a restaurant or a bar. I mean, there was a possibility it could be a bar. He's just waiting for a tenant or himself. And so I think there's a big difference between if that's a patio bar or a restaurant bar. I don't know how you can build it and they will come, I guess. And then, you know, we've already agreed to it. And then a bar goes in rather than a restaurant. I don't know if that's something that can be set in stone. I think that would be it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Is there anyone else?
My name is Julie Fee, and I live at 2192 Lindenwood, which is right behind the site. My concerns are that Mr. Romer expressed that if the site changes, he is not going to build an outdoor patio on the west side, but he didn't mention the south side or the east side. And so my concerns are, if that site does change, what's the possibility that patio could be built on the south side or the east side instead of the north side? And another one of my concerns is, my husband is an engineer. He works a lot of times from 6 a.m. in the morning. One night, just 2 weeks ago, he got home at 11:45 at night. So when he gets home, he wants to sleep. My concerns are that if this is open until 2 a.m., that's going to be a huge hindrance to him getting a restful night's sleep so that he can go back in and do his job the next day. So I would strongly like to see those hours of operation limited to, you know, no later than 11 o'clock. Thank you.
Thank you. The proposal we have and what we're approving is for the north side of the restaurant area, 10 by 40. I believe. Is that correct, John?
Yeah. This is one time where I don't know if we got the cart before the horse or the horse before the cart. Usually this request comes to this body first. Mm-hmm. But because we did not have a quorum last week, we're now following the Planning and Zoning Commission. Mm-hmm. In this particular case, perhaps that's a good thing, because that is the plan that was given approval by the Planning and Zoning Commission to go ahead to City Council last night. So we now know this is the plan.
Okay. And another question, ma'am. Do you have any problem with the pizza restaurant behind you?
Frank's.
Frank's Pizza?
Julie? That's not behind me. Yeah.
Well, it's back behind you somewhere there. So is it a problem?
Down further from any of our properties.
Other.
But there'd been no problem there, Bill or John, for any. Yes, sir? Nothing.
Yeah, they have a bar.
They have a bar?
Yeah.
They don't have outdoor seating.
No outdoor seating at the restaurant. It does have a full bar.
Yes,
they
do.
I don't know. I think they're open pretty late. I don't know for sure. I don't stay up that late.
I'm going to Google that.
Anything else, ma'am?
Yeah, I'm Julie Burnchin at 5177 Dove Court. I guess
I guess, what's the definition of a restaurant? And I, maybe you guys can define that for us. But I don't think anyone, and please correct me if I'm wrong, is opposed to a restaurant going in behind us. I think the big issues are coming in where alcohol is concerned, and will it be more bar than restaurant? And if there is some way to stipulate or define what that is, so that we are more comfortable with what kind of business is going to go in there, that may allay a lot of our fears.
According to the plan, it's the biggest complex of the area, and extends out further. If restaurants serve food, so I would assume it will serve food.
And there are lots of establishments that serve food but are really more bar than restaurant, and are really in business to serve more alcohol than they are to serve food. They serve food so people will drink more, whereas a restaurant, people go to eat and buy a drink to complement what they're eating. So there is, I think, a big distinction, and definition. As I said, I think a lot of us would be much more in favor of a restaurant going in there than a bar with food.
Well, most restaurants do serve
liquor. And that's great. And so I think part of the issue then is the hours, because most people aren't eating food past 10 or 11 o'clock. And so when Mr. Romer's talking about being open till 1 or 2 in the morning, then we know it's more serving alcohol than it is serving food, and becomes more of a bar than a restaurant. So, and with lots of young children and professionals going to work, living right next to that establishment, you know, 2 in the morning noise levels are not going to be a great thing for those residents.
Thank you. Bill, you had a comment?
Basically, when we look at whether something's a restaurant or a bar, and Governor's is kind of a good litmus test for that. They serve food. They also serve alcohol with it. We quiz the owner as to whether the receipts are going to be tipped in favor of the food or in the alcohol. And that's how we base whether we're going to call this a bar or cocktail lounge or a restaurant that serves alcohol.
Mm-hmm. So that's subjective, pretty much. I mean,
everything's subjective,
agree,
Dave.
Yeah, I mean, if you agreed, what is it, Section 5?
Don't quote code me. Don't quote code me. Just talk. Just
now,
talk.
Can you bring that up? You got the magic PC up there. But where it defines, it defines a restaurants. And I always got confused from the McDonald's thing between the carryout, the drive-in restaurants.
I know.
All these things. But every one of the restaurant definitions say not including bar, cocktail lounge, or tavern.
That's correct.
And that's why that's a special use under C2. And that's what I was trying to get at before is,
and that's,
where
that's,
is the determination made then? I mean, because the definitions in the code certainly say it does not include.
I just have a quick thing to say, Bill. I mean, this could go on forever.
Yep.
A bar, someone could call me up and lease out the space in the middle and put a bar in. And if they're willing to pay the right number and they get the liquor license, it's a bar. That's, if I'm wrong, tell me. I mean, that could happen, and that's not under my control. I've told you folks 100 times, it's a restaurant pub. The ratio will be approximately 60-40. That's what I'm basing my business plan on. It's the same thing I've done with Crust, Red Crow. It's 80% food, 20% alcohol. Saying that restaurants offer food to get, or offer drinks to get food, or whatever you said, it's not necessarily true. I mean, you don't know what's going to happen until you build it. I mean, I could have intentions to make it 80% food, 20% liquor, and it might not happen. I can't tell you until the neighbors, community come and enjoy it and try it and see. But ultimately, this whole thing is about the patio. It's got nothing to do with the other stuff. I mean, I just don't see the relevance why we're rehashing all this. I'm asking for a variance for that. It's been brought up to you people. The same complaints were made last night. So all I'm asking is let's try to move this forward a little bit, please.
I guess in that vein, but just a real quick question. We really don't have any input on anything regarding time frame, hours of operation, anything really for a restaurant bar internally. We are strictly able to do like we did with other special use permits and restrict the patio area.
That is correct.
And the time frame on the patio area. Is that right?
That's correct. That's the question in case anybody was going to ask
about that, or we talk more about the hours, just to want to clarify.
Well, and I just have one more thing about the hours. I did Google Frank's Pizza, and it's open from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m., and no, I don't have a problem with Frank's Pizza because it closes before most reasonable people go to bed.
Thank you. Is anyone else?
I'm Christy Ziskowski. I live at 5200 Dove Court. I'm the furthest north on Dove Court in that cul-de-sac. I just want to be probably the last person that says I would also disagree with the patio, only because I also do have three young kids, three and under. My newest is 6 weeks old, and, you know, getting up in the middle of the night, things like that. 2 a.m. is normal for me to be awake, but not so much for my children. So I'd really would like to have no patio, just considering that it would probably bring more noise in the middle of the night or even just later into the night. And then probably the light. I'm concerned about the lighting as well. I don't know how tall the posts are for the lighting of the parking lot. And I have a large amount of overflow light coming from McDonald's in my backyard. Now, I moved in just a year ago, so I knew McDonald's was back there, but I didn't realize how much light really comes into our backyard. So that would just be something that I would see as well as a small concern that there would be a lot of light overflow into our backyard as well as the sound that we were talking about with the patio. So
thank you. Anyone else? Seeing none, does the board have any questions of anyone?
Well, just to address that, we really don't have anything to do with the lighting.
No.
Sorry.
That'll be part of the site plan.
That's part of site plan. Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be
different board.
That'll be part of the site plan.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Does someone want to make a motion to either approve or reject this idea, and also to put some time limits on the hours?
I think we have some questions.
I just have a quick question. What didn't we have something come through for? Was it the Beach House that used to be there? Now it's Habaneros. Didn't they have a plan?
They had an outdoor service area on the north side as well.
That was a special use. They didn't take, they didn't use it, right?
I don't think it was ever used.
Yeah, I don't think.
It's used right now.
Is it open? Habaneros uses it, and it's on the north side, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Anybody else?
You have a question, Dave?
No, I don't really have any questions. I guess I would just, as I look at the site plan, I look at the fact that the entire building is, between, especially the residents on Lindenwood are completely shielded by building and other structure from this proposed patio, which is 120 or 150 feet, probably more than that from their homes. So I think that, in terms of a site or a position on the site, that's probably the absolute optimum that you could hope for if you lived in any of the adjacent properties. So from that standpoint, I think that whatever activity was there or any evidence of it is pretty well mitigated, you know, in terms of its adjacencies. So I can appreciate them not wanting to have it on the south side or the west side, where it's right, you know, right at the at their berm, or if in the case of where there isn't a berm, you know, right in their backyard. But I understand also we're talking about a berm and a
fence, and
a fence there too. So, but I do think where it's proposed, probably if it's approved, that's probably the best possible scenario for the neighbors.
Question: Is there an overhang plan for that area or not over the patio that might maybe mitigate some of sound or anything like that?
No, actually. There's not, and I had that issue in a Pint's restaurant pub that I have in Elmhurst, Illinois, and it actually reverberated and caused more problems.
More damage. Oh, okay. Well, so, we don't want that.
No.
So it'll be an opened area then, right, Mark?
Right. Yeah. Then we'll have canopies out for the sun. It'll look similar as Crest, but we'll have more plantings. We'll just dusty it up. Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you. Is there a motion on this item? Bob, you have any questions?
No, I don't. I think we've explored the problems. I don't know.
Well, I mean, really,
I don't know what else you can do to protect them.
Yeah, I mean, in our purview, it's whether or not to allow the special use for an outdoor seating area, outdoor patio
service area.
Service area. Thank you. You know, a lot of these issues we just don't have control over. It's just this one. So really, that's where our discussion needs to be.
We can control the hours if you want.
I was going to say, my question would be to staff, beyond a yes or no answer, would you clarify for us any other, once again, because you did it at the beginning, but there's been a lot of water over the dam since then. What other controls, if you will?
He's asking for a use which requires a special use permit. You can put conditions on that use should you choose to approve it. And it's the use.
The use of that area.
Right. Correct. It's not just you can't have alcohol out in that area after a certain hour, if that's what you choose to do. It's the use of the area. So there shouldn't be any sounds emitting from the area if you restrict the hours. As I recall, and I did look at the decision and order on the Crust when I was looking at this case, that's what you did. You said the use of it. It was to cease at a certain hour.
Was it to cease the entire use or just
I believe that's what you, yes. serving
now, alcohol?
As for the sound, whether there's speakers out there, I've never heard a discussion on that. I don't know the answer to that.
So that would be another possible
that'd be another
control.
Noise ordinance for the police would enforce.
Right.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Well, the amount of sound would be policed by the noise ordinance and the police department.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Mm-hmm. It also somewhat gets policed by complaint calls that we get.
No.
Right.
No.
Have you ever gotten any from Crust, John?
No.
I haven't either, so.
No. Mm-hmm.
Do you have another comment, sir?
Yeah, and it really, here again, I'm probably going off, you know, the tribal path here or whatever. It has nothing to do with Mark's place this time, but I'm curious in a way of the Board of Adjustments as to why in June of 2011, was it, in December of 2013, you rejected the outdoor service area for the clubhouse. What was your reasoning?
They didn't serve food. That's why.
Yeah. And they were, well.
But we're talking the outdoor service area alone, which is not part of whether that's a restaurant or bar or whatever. I'm curious as to why or what reasoning you took to
deny them,
reject those two. Yeah,
because they didn't serve food.
Yeah, you made a distinction between outdoor service for a restaurant
and a bar
and something that's not a restaurant.
Right.
But is that a condition we can put on this? If it's a bar, they don't, you know, to if you were to use that same criteria, then it depends on what the use of the property is.
Sure.
You whether can put or not in they can even utilize that outdoor area. That's what I'm.
Sure, you can put any stipulation on that if you choose to approve it, you want.
Because that could be a future use permanently if it's not.
Yeah, if it changes hands and turns into a bar.
Yeah.
That it's not to be used.
Something else in that too. And
I think one of the other factors in that rejection was that that particular establishment already had an established pattern of disturbance in the neighborhood, and was using their first request was to put it on the back of the building, directly adjacent to the homeowners.
The original, yeah.
The original one was, and then they came back again, and we did, as I recall, and we denied it on the front of the building because they had not mitigated any of the problems there had continued to exist, and we felt that we were in a position of making a bad situation worse. There is no situation about, you know, in this case, so that's different from my perspective.
Lisa did pull up that notice and order for Crust, and that was specific to alcoholic beverages.
It was.
That seemed to me, yeah, they were supposed to, so they can still serve food after 10, yeah. But they just, I don't think, due to these type of the establishment, I don't think they generally have people out there that much later, but.
So on Crust, it was that they couldn't serve any alcohol after 10 o'clock at night. And
that's correct.
O'clock,
right.
Daily.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But they can still
serve pizza or whatever.
Yeah, but as Bryce said, it very rarely, we can stay open till 10 on the weekends. Very rarely are people out there at 10 eating and not drinking. I mean, you can't, they pull the drinks. It's like if you're in a bar in somewhere and at close, you've got to take the drinks before close. We just tell them, if you choose to sit out there, we've got to pull your drinks at 10 o'clock. You cannot be out there. And then usually everybody comes in, you know, unless in the summer they just want to sit out there and enjoy the weather, but that's not an issue at all.
Now the difference is you don't know what's going into this particular establishment.
Correct. If I develop it, it will be a gastropub, which will serve a full bar. And it'll have a full bar. It'll be a bar or a restaurant pub, and we'll offer, you know, all the drinks and the food as well. That's if I do it. And like I said last night, I can't guarantee who's going to do it, but I would say 93% I'm going to do it. But somebody else can come in and open a bar right next door. And what would happen then is they would come back and ask for a special use to potentially do the same thing. I mean, I can't see you saying that if it changes hands, you're going to outlaw the patio in the future if it becomes a bar or. I just don't understand. I mean, I think it's more important to make a decision on what's going on now. We can't control what's going to happen in the future. They'll have to come back and reapply and go through the same process. We can't worry about what's going to happen. And I mean, I know they're worried about it, but we don't know.
Right. That's a good question. Don't they have to, as a new establishment, do they need to come back and reapply for that special use or not?
If they're going to come back as just a bar, they have to get a special use to be just the bar.
Because it's changing the use of the property.
Correct.
Completely. Or changing owners, John? If they change owners, it would have to come back?
It's
no.
The use.
No.
As long as it's
the use of the building.
If it's still a restaurant pub,
yes.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's not a change in use, and they still.
So no, you can't just move in and open a bar. You would have to come through this process.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And they'd have to come here, and everybody would have a chance to speak again.
Again.
Is there a motion from someone?
Section 1523, special use, bar, cocktail, lounge, tavern. So no, somebody can't just buy it and open a bar.
They'd have to come back and
they
ask
have
for
to
a
come
special
here
use
for your approval.
For those particular uses.
Yes, sir.
Well, I, considering all the special uses that we have out there, there are special use permits, the only one we've denied was to a bar. So, I mean, can we say that this is a special use for a restaurant facility?
You can do whatever you want. Sure.
And it's being proposed that way. Whether Mark builds it or somebody else builds it.
Mm-hmm.
Proposed as a restaurant.
And it would be in keeping because you don't really like to set precedent, but it would be in keeping with what's out there right now. We haven't really had any problems with anything that's out there right now except for one particular establishment.
You made that distinction with the clubhouse.
I'm explaining why I'm making my motion.
Could I make a suggestion?
Yes.
If they come back and it's going to be a pub or a bar, then they'd have to come back here and get a special use.
Mm-hmm.
You could say at that time that if that happens, that you get to re-review the outdoor use.
Right.
Condition it that way.
If it's any other business other than a restaurant
as defined by the staff mm-hmm. in the city code.
Mm-hmm.
Special use permit to allow an outdoor service area for a
as an answer a use to a re- to a restaurant
for to a restaurant pub.
I don't know the
restaurant or restaurant that serves alcoholic beverages.
Yeah, I'm not sure we define pub in our code, but we certainly have a restaurant with or without alcoholic.
We don't have to. Yes. A restaurant doesn't define whether or not it has alcohol, does it?
No.
Okay. Let's just leave it at that. Especially for a restaurant. Hours. What do you guys think about these hours?
To me, 10 o'clock is a lot easier to remember than 9 at a certain time and 10 another time.
9 on the. I think when we went through it this with Crust, it was because on the weeknights, people go, you know, the kids go to bed a little earlier, getting ready for school, that kind of thing. It's just. I think that's why we did it.
Mm-hmm. But we're in school now, and it's chilly to sit outside somewhat.
Well,
now.
Yeah, but I don't know. There's a lot of people out in the patios today.
Well, today, yeah. How about tomorrow?
Well, I don't know. It's day by day here in Iowa.
I know.
I guess. I'm
trying to write.
As I look at, if we're addressing the hour issue. You know, I think that perhaps the hours that I'm like you, I like it simple.
10 o'clock is fine.
But by the same token, you know, to not establish any advantage or disadvantage for any business in that corridor, it might be a better case to say, let's use that as a precedent and continue it.
Right.
And then we don't create any advantage or disadvantage for Mr. Romer or any future owners of any of those businesses.
One thing on that, I am, and I don't know if it's pertinent, I am going to come back and ask to increase Crust to 10 during the weekday because in the summer we do have a lot of mass exodus that we've got to move everybody inside. So 10 across the board would be beneficial, I think.
When we issued that, Mark, we did indicate you could come back in a year and request different
hours. Exactly.
And to me, 10 o'clock would be very reasonable.
Yeah, I agree with
you. And it's uniform.
Yep.
Well, now you're bringing up a different case when he comes back. We don't have that precedent yet, so do we discuss that now? Or, I mean, you're now.
Would he have to refile, Bill?
He'll have to come back.
He has to come back for another special use.
I think it was noted, though, you said if everything went well in the first year, we've been open 3 years now. Oh. I dropped the ball, and my staff keeps yelling at me, and it's just been too hectic to get back. So.
Right.
From my perspective, you know, 9 or 10 isn't really a huge issue with me. It's just I think that everybody in that district
needs to be the same.
Right. I'll agree with that.
Mm-hmm. Are there any restrictions on habaneros for hours? Do we know?
There was not, no.
And that came long before.
Well, if you remember, that original use came in when it was Beavers.
Yeah, a long time ago.
Long time ago.
Yeah, so that.
There wasn't anybody out there.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Let me see if I can get this right. I move we approve case number 14071, a request for a special permit to allow an outdoor service area for a restaurant. Hours to be until 10 p.m.
For the outdoor seating.
For the outdoor seating. Yeah, this is all for the outdoor seating.
Mm-hmm.
And should the use change, the new applicant would have to come back and before this board.
I have one question on the motion, and that is it 10 o'clock for outdoor seating, or is it 10 o'clock for the service of alcohol outside?
Well, right now, I believe it's just alcohol over at Crest.
Correct. That's why I'm wondering if we're pulling in another thing here.
Okay, so to amend my motion, be 10 p.m. To stop service of alcoholic beverages.
And that would be every day of the week?
Every day of the week.
Yeah, 7 days a week.
Okay. And that it has to be an ancillary use of a restaurant as defined by the city code. I'll second that.
Why didn't you just say that? You were much better at it.
You, but you were working so hard on it.
What are we doing?
Okay, then I'll second the motion, yeah.
Okay. Been a motion and a second. Would you call the roll, Lisa?
Falk?
Yes.
Gallagher?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Lavender?
Yes. Case number 14-071 at 2207 Falcon Avenue, a C2 district, has been approved. Is there anything else, John?
Thanks for your time.
No.
I don't believe we have anything further to bring before you this evening.
I move we adjourn.
Is there a motion to adjourn? Oh, John.
I made my motion.
We're adjourned.